You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Thursday afternoon. Welcome in to the Illini Inquirer podcast. I was doubting myself there for a second on if I had the day right because we're getting crazy now with the schedule. Football is very busy on the recruiting trail. Huge official visits this weekend. We're going to talk all about a huge recruiting weekend, but we also got some big news from the Big Ten. We're actually going to do this live on YouTube in the morning, but we're doing it now because the Big Ten announced its new scheduling format, so a lot to get into there. It's Jeremy Warner, Joey Wagner. Joey, good afternoon. How you been, buddy?
I'm good, man. Got a little time to get away. Came back just in time for a crazy month of June, which out of season is becoming one of the bigger months work-wise for us.
No, absolutely has. And I'll give a personal detail. My wife and kids went out of town with my mother-in-law. So I got a weekend alone, so I got to be by my phone. But I scheduled some mandates with the boys, so I'll be out there. So I need you Friday night. I'm going to with my brother and my best friend Matt. And then Saturday afternoon, I'll be at the White Sox game. Because we're just a couple games out of first place now. I'm back on the bandwagon. But you'll be by the computer, right? To cover me in case something happens over the weekend. Because usually it doesn't happen until Sunday, Monday after official visits. But you never know. Rico Jackson, Jamarion Harkless kind of surprised us last year.
I'll do what I can. I've been on a pretty big gaming bench, Jeremy. Okay. I will not be at a baseball game because my team is not surging up to the top of the standings in a really bad division. So congratulations. You.
I have bragging rights in my text thread with Isaac Trotter, Jay Kasson, both Cardinals fans, and Austin Parkland, who was so high on his Cubs after the first month.
When is he not?
Well, now he's not. He's back into the fire everybody kind of realm, which I get. But it's very tongue-in-cheek bragging rights for how terrible all of our teams are. But we digress. We got some Big Ten scheduling news. Joey, the Big Ten finally announced its new scheduling format, which includes protected rivalries, but not a given number. So Penn State has zero protected rivalries. Should we all laugh at them for that? No protected rivalries since being in the league since 1993. But then you have a team like Iowa, who has three protected rivalries. But it comes out Illinois sensibly has Purdue and Northwestern as their protected rivalries. And then they get a two play for two seasons in 2024, 2025. It's Ohio State. So the Illibuck lives on. Illinois hasn't played them in a while. COVID season game got wiped out. So that's a difficult two play, but you do get Northwestern and Purdue, which I think makes a lot of sense. But they unleashed the 2024-2025 schedules. And the 2024 schedule, Joey, is a bear. The 2025 schedule is a little bit more digestible for Illinois. But what do you think of what the Big Ten did here? We'll get into the schedules each season. We'll get into the protected rivalries. But just overall, what do you think of what the Big Ten did here?
Obviously, if you're a program like Illinois, you're going to miss the divisions because you had a chance to win the West the way Brett Bielema has his program trending. But I like that it's, you know, I know the pod system had gotten a lot of buzz kind of early in this where you'd put three teams or four teams in a pod and see where that went. That felt, I mean, I don't think it would have been a bad idea. It felt clunky. I really like this, actually. Protect the games that matter. Now, you can nitpick a little bit, right? Like, if you're Illinois, you'd like to see Iowa, probably. I mean, it was kind of a fun rivalry, but there's three other teams Iowa has bigger rivalries with than Illinois. So I think you get a little bit of the best of both worlds, and I'm sure Illinois fans will need to be past the 2025 season when you have a two-play with Ohio State to maybe feel that, but I like this. I like that you keep those rivalries. I think that would have been really difficult to do in a pod system, you'd have had people unhappy with how that landed out. But I think this is good. We do have to, Jeremy, I'll sell us out a little bit. We've got to pull back the curtain when it things start to buzz midway through the afternoon. And we saw Ohio State on the possibility, we heard, I should say, the possibility of Ohio State in 24 and 25. We thought, are they really going to protect this as a rivalry? Because this makes zero sense. Yeah. So the two play makes a lot more sense. But that was a stretch that we chatted about for about, I don't know, a half hour, 45 minutes today trying to sort that out.
Yeah, I know there's a trophy game, but it's not a rivalry. Like, Ohio State does not consider it a rivalry. Illinois does not consider it a rivalry. Ohio State's in a different tier of college football. Like, there's the top tier of teams that can potentially be a national title contender every year, and then there's everybody else. And Illinois is trying to get in that maybe that tier below everybody else instead of being below everybody else. Anyway.
Can you imagine, though, going to a TV deal and being like, hey, we got a hit for you here. Primetime, ABC, Illinois, Ohio State every year.
Right.
That doesn't work when you have the other schools.
Now, well. Illinois every 10 years or so will have that big game against Ohio State. But, man, yeah, it's not a rivalry you should protect. That is for sure. And, you know, I know it's a tough draw, Ohio State with a two play, but let's be honest, Northwestern, Purdue, that's a favorable draw to have every year you have those two teams. But I want to applaud the Big Ten here. Like, I think this is creative, Joey. I think it's more creative than the 3-6-6 format, which is probably easier to digest, but protecting three teams, it's really difficult. You're going to miss out on somebody, and to lock somebody into a schedule with three rivals every year, it could be a little bit difficult, but it would have been a little bit easier because you can kind of do six opponents for 2 years, then the other six opponents for 2 years, and you get to play everybody. This is going to take a little bit more creativity and, I guess, logistics for the Big Ten scheduling department. I'm not a big schedule release guy, Joey. I don't get too excited about these things. But this is a huge change, but, like, the work that has to go into schedule 16 teams or 32 in the NFL, I always find really fascinating. But I do think I want to applaud the Big Ten for being creative here. I mean, here's the rivalries that are protected. Illinois versus Northwestern and Purdue. Michigan with Michigan State and Ohio State. Makes sense. Northwestern has one. Illinois. Rutgers has one. Maryland. Maryland has one. Rutgers. Makes sense, right? Nebraska has one with Iowa. Iowa has three. Minnesota, Nebraska, Wisconsin. All trophy games, all matter, right? Indiana only won with Purdue. Michigan State only won with Michigan. I thought Michigan State USC could have been one. You get the Spartan kind of thing there, the Warrior thing. But Ohio State won with Michigan. It's the only game that really needs to be protected there. UCLA and USC only won. Wisconsin has Iowa and Minnesota. Purdue has Illinois and Indiana. So I thought they did. Those are the games that matter. Those are the rivalry games that matter, the traditional ones that really matter. And then you rotate everybody else out. So I do want to applaud them for that. But the other take here is, Joey, 2024 for Illinois. What a bear of a schedule that is. I do have it on our screen here. I know it's a little hard to see. I'll try and enlarge it here a little bit. But Illinois in 2024 draws Michigan State, or Minnesota, let me get this right. That's the 2024, yeah. Michigan State, Northwestern, Ohio State, Rutgers, and USC on the road. They have Iowa, Maryland, Michigan, and Purdue at home. So they got Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, and USC all in the same season. Three of those games on the road. And as you wrote, Joey, in your takeaways, only three West opponents. So you think of 2024. To me, that is Bielema's really his first roster of his team. You're not going to have Johnny Newton. You're not going to have Keith Randolph, Isaiah Adams, and Julian Pearl. We'll see who else is draft eligible. Is Seth Coleman there? But Lovie Smith's roster is basically gone, and you're going to have a lot of question marks there. Now, maybe that's a good thing because you have more depth, but some of your stars are going to be gone. So 2024, finding six wins, getting to a bowl game, I think would be a success for that year. I know it is a year away. I know Brett Bielema's expectations are higher, but given where the roster will be, given the schedule you have, that's going to be a difficult season.
It is. I'm trying to pull up the non-conference in 24, Central Michigan, Kansas, Eastern Illinois.
Yeah.
Probably need to do some work there.
You need to go 3-0 there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a tough one to come out of the gates with. Because like you said, those stars, those all Big Ten guys, they're going to be in the NFL cash and paycheck. So, I don't know, man. Like, you don't want to write anything off because it's a long way away. But that is it's really coming down to me to getting Ohio State twice coming out of the gates in that pick two. You knew you were going to play some of these other teams, but you're going to play a lot more teams more frequently than you had. But yeah, that's a bear, man. And yeah. You're talking
welcome to the new format
with Rutgers and USC. Now that's going to be, I have to imagine that's going to have a scheduling gap between those two trips, but yeah, that's a new Big Ten. Like, that to me exemplifies the new Big Ten. I mean, Illinois scheduled three West teams, then you have six teams that you wouldn't have seen. I mean, you may have seen a few, I suppose, but huge change, man. Huge change.
And then let's go to 2025. Now, the flip side of this is 2024 is difficult, but 2025, Luke Altmaier's in his third potential year as your starting quarterback. These guys have been established. You've built your depth. You're kind of hitting your stride. Malik Elzey will be a junior, right? Like, that's what we're thinking about here. This schedule, you got to like. I know you got Ohio State at home, but UCLA's at home, Northwestern at home, Minnesota and Indiana at home, on the road, at Wisconsin, not easy, at Penn State, not easy, at Nebraska, we'll see where they're at with Matt Rhule, but at Purdue, that feels like more of a schedule. You can do some work. So I guess my whole point is, I think Illinois in 2023 got a chance to make some hay. In the last year of the Big Ten West, I think Illinois will be a West contender. I think they have a favorable schedule as long as they take care of business in the non-conference, which isn't easy with Toledo at home and on the road at Kansas. But the rest of the West, I think, is there for the taking outside of maybe Iowa, but you beat Iowa last year. You know, Wisconsin has a new coaching staff. Purdue has a new coaching staff. Nebraska has a new coaching staff. Northwestern's been in the dumps for, you know, three of the last 4 years. I think Illinois has a real chance. So I think it's important for them to take advantage of that. And then 2024, just kind of a difficult road. I'm not throwing away that season, but it's just a difficult road. But 2025, it's a little bit easier of a road, or a little bit more favorable of a road, when your program, I think, is really going to be hitting its stride under Bielema.
Yeah, ideally you flip 2024 and 25 if you're Illinois. I think you'd rather have your 25 team, or you know what I mean, the 24 team against that 25 schedule and vice versa. The point you made about needing to maximize this year, does it not make last year, the way that kind of tuckered off down the stretch and a chance to go to Indianapolis and really get all of these eyeballs on you and get all that buzz, that makes it sting a little bit more? And we knew, Jeremy, in the moment, like, okay, the divisions are going to go away when USC and UCLA come. But to me, it feels a little bit different when you actually see it and you see Michigan State, Ohio State, USC in the same season. That's where you're like, oh, yeah, right, they're gone. And that the sting of November last year maybe feels a little bit more, a little harder to stomach now that you see what's ahead of you in these next 2 years after the 23 season.
Yeah, the two first months of the season, Illinois took a huge stride forward, right, and really helped this program propel forward. But there was also a missed opportunity. So it was a mixed bag a little bit last year because you didn't close on that opportunity. You weren't able to close out some of those games. I know some people want to point towards refs and you know, the Purdue game, Michigan game. I think you have a legit gripe there, but they also just failed to close out games. Mississippi State. I was talking to an Illinois assistant yesterday, Joey. I was like, oh, that game. We should have had that game. Like, and that one meant a lot to them. If you finish 9-4, win your bowl game on January 2nd, that could have helped you a little bit more in your cell as well, and just learning how to close out those games. So that's the next strides they have to make, and we'll see if they could do that this year. I probably buried the lead here a little bit, Joey. But divisions are gone, and now you have a Big Ten championship where it's just the two top teams in the standings. And I think that's fair. Listen, I know this hurts Illinois, but it would have been more interesting probably with Michigan and Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, even if it's back-to-back weeks that they're playing. But this does hurt Illinois when you're talking about a Big Ten championship game. But I still think there's the goal now, if you're Illinois moving forward, once you get to a 12-team playoff, is to get to that playoff. And if you finish third, you are going to be in that playoff. If you finish fourth, you have a chance, I think, to be in that playoff if you have some impressive wins and maybe you're 10-2 or something like that and a 6-2 record in the Big Ten. So I think that's now the mark for Illinois and any other team that's maybe not Ohio State or Michigan, but it's to get into that college football playoff. Like, that would be as important as getting to a Big Ten championship game. Because let's be honest, like, yeah, there was that prize there for Illinois to get to a Big Ten championship game last year, but they probably wouldn't have won that, right? Now they would have been playing Michigan they almost beat Michigan, so I can't really say that. But the West hasn't won it. So I do find it interesting. You know, some people are saying this hurts Illinois. I think that's possible, especially when it comes to a Big Ten championship. But I think the standard now is getting to the college football playoff.
Yeah, it hurts Illinois a lot more if the playoffs don't ultimately expand, and we know they're going to expand. But I get it. Like, I understand that the appeal to play in Indy, especially when you're Illinois and you're an hour and a half from Indianapolis, and you think about what that could be fan-wise, experience-wise, atmosphere-wise. But the goal, there's a little more wiggle room with the expanded playoffs to be that third or fourth best team in the Big Ten. Now, if you're the fourth, you've got to hope some things around college football probably break your way to give you that opportunity. But this, I mean, come on, this is kind of geared to get as many teams in the college football playoff as you can if you're the Big Ten. So that's just what it is. That should be that target area, four and up. And if you have those seasons that you can catch fire and be hot and be two and find your way to Indy, no one's saying that's impossible. But realistically, being in that top four will really matter. Yeah. In terms of postseason and bowls and all the same things that have mattered, just with the broader scope to get into that playoff.
We will take people's questions if they want to on the live YouTube, if you want to send those in the chat. And Brad P. weighed in and said, can Illinois cancel their upcoming contract with Missouri? That starts in 2026 and 2027. Illinois will host Missouri in 2026 at Memorial Stadium, then go to Missouri in 2027. I love that. They'll play again in 2028 and 2029, home and home there, and then they'll renew that 2032 through 2035. I don't see that happening, Joey. This is what they want. They want this rivalry. I do see them scheduling some easier opponents, right? Like, I expect to see some more FCS opponents in future years, but we want good games, right? We still want good games, and I think Illinois should be at the point where they can make a bowl game even with a Power 5 opponent in their non-conference.
Yeah, if you're not at that point, you've got a lot bigger issues than who you play. Yeah. And I think you look at what Brett Bielema has done and his coaching staff has done, and they're trending in that way, that Missouri is not going to be the make-or-break point. And I think as a fan, it's probably ideal to see a Power 5 team or a group of five teams in play. And it's no slight, man. Kind of like, how much of a needle does Eastern Illinois, Western Illinois, you know, whatever the case may be, an FCS team, how much does that move the needle when you're thinking about going to a game on Saturday when the weather's going to be nice and you're at Memorial Stadium and you can pack that full of people? I mean, you're going to pack it more full with Missouri than you would an FCS directional school.
Yeah, can I point out, I think they have a better situation here. They've set up the game to be in mid and late September. It's no longer the first game of the season where you're like, I don't know who we are. Like, we don't know who we are. Illinois had that for years against Missouri, and it didn't go too well. Now, Missouri had the same quote-unquote disadvantage, just Missouri was better. But I do think that's a smart play, is having those games later on. So you can play some of these lower-level opponents, get some momentum going, and then head into these games. And I just think it's great for fans to have these home-and-homes. And we know the Illinois-Missouri rivalry is really good for basketball, and I do think – you know, I was at one of those games in St. Louis when I was in college, and it was electric. The atmosphere was great. So I'm glad they're doing this series again. It's a game that matters to the fans. One more note before we get to recruiting and this huge official visit weekend is the Kansas game got moved to Friday night. I'm not going to start the Friday night debate here, but it's a 6:30 kickoff on ESPN2. I believe that's September 8th now. I believe is the date. I could be wrong there. But the Kansas game, week two, is now on Friday night. The second Friday night game of the year. Illinois will also have Nebraska at home on Friday night later in the season. Listen, I know for some fans it's terrible. You got high school football games or whatever. I get it. I hear you. The problem is it's all about TV product. It's all about TV product, and ESPN2 is going to air this. So it's a road game for Illinois this year, so maybe it's not as big of a deal, Joey, but the TV product trumps everything. It trumps more of what the in-person product is. It's more important to have that TV product than to actually get a couple thousand more people in the seats. And it's a TV network's decision, so it's not like Illinois had a ton of say. They probably said, okay, yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, and it probably helps if you're a fan to make it – to stomach it a little bit more that it's in Kansas.
Yeah.
And you're not losing that you know, atmosphere that you hope for on a Saturday afternoon. Again, the weather, like, we have to bring it up because these are, like, marquee weather tailgating Saturday afternoon games. You know who I don't think, especially given it's a home game, I wouldn't doubt. I don't think Brett Bielema minds it that much. He's going to give ESPN2 a ton of access to his guys, to himself, to his coaches. And like we see it. We see fans say, oh, this broadcast is talking about X school more than Illinois. And guess what? Every other fan says that too. This, every broadcast is talking more. Brett Bielema makes it kind of hard to do that on national broadcasts when you have two programs kind of in a similar spot in terms of resurgent season last year coming up. He's going to give them a lot of access to make sure his program is talked about quite a bit. So if you're a fan watching at home, this is going to be either 50-50 or, obviously Kansas is going to give some access to like that. But you're going to hear a lot about your team during this game. And as a fan, if you weren't planning on going, like, might make you happier unless you're going to be at a Friday night football game. And then you're not going to be happy.
And it's a fascinating matchup. Two programs that were in the dumps. Two coaches that were both candidates for the Illinois job. Like, Leipold would have been a good hire, in my opinion. I was kind of locked in on him. And then Bielema comes in, and I think it's the perfect fit for Illinois, and he's done extremely well. But it's going to be a fascinating study to see those two teams go up against each other.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
All right, Joey, let's switch to recruiting because that is probably the biggest news this week for Illinois, because they have their first wave of official visitors, and it is more than 12 uncommitted recruits that we have confirmed so far. Is a huge weekend. It is a big story. I'm actually going to unlock it, make it free over the weekend for people to read. Caught up with four Illini recruiting staffers about what this week means for them. They spend 6 months, Joey, basically preparing for this, because it is massive for their recruiting efforts. June has become the most important month, not only the coaches traveling to camps and us following them around with that and checking out and evaluating prospects, but getting these top targets that they have focused in on over the last several months, gotten on campus in the spring, and then getting them here on official visit season, because most of these guys are going to commit within the next month or two as they get ready for their high school seasons and want to lock in their spot. So a massive weekend this weekend. So what do you think this means for the class of 2024 for Illinois?
And this is where they put the meat of their recruiting class together. You'll see some later additions as the high school and some seniors blossoms here or there. But this is the meat of it. These are the guys that Illinois has been recruiting since this coaching staff got to Illinois. I remember, Jeremy, the story you had last year on Malik Elzey, and George McDonald basically followed and recruited that kid for 2 years. Now you add another year. Right, you add another year, especially in state, a year to get to know these guys, to put your best foot forward. I talked to somebody who wasn't a recruiting staffer, Jeremy, the other day, and they said it's all hands on deck in the month of June. That means whatever your job title is in June, that might include tech support, getting, whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, June is to make this program, and Illinois is not alone in this, to make this program look the best it's ever looked. For anybody who comes through the Smith Center, and the result of that, if you pull that off and your pitch works and you sell all of that, you get a really good piece, in some cases all, or at least the heavy hitters your recruiting class put together. And Illinois has got some big names coming, Jeremy. I'm also curious, this is a chance to see how much they maximize that 8-5 season and that breakthrough. And then it's also similarly a chance to see what they do with the three draft picks they had in the defensive backfield. How do those things work in tandem, and what kind of recruiting momentum, what kind of wins can they pull out of the hat here in the month of June?
Yeah, let's be honest with you. Like, I think it's too early at this point to get worried about class rankings, right? Illinois has three commitments, which is lowest in the Big Ten. They're the number 71 class in the country. They're the last ranked class right now in the Big Ten. But in about a month, it's going to be starting to be fair to look at those things about how they stack up. But this is the big month. So, you know, Pat Embleton, who's the director of personnel at Illinois, and Nate McNeil, the director of high school relations, was basically like, or the director of recruiting, was basically like, yeah, the point is to get commitments. This is time to close for Illinois on some of their top targets, and then to make a push and maybe push ahead in other recruitments, right? So this is important. Now it's time to add to this class. Like, in past couple years, they've done really well during June. They've gotten a bulk of their classes and solidified their classes. As you said, like, the spring, you get the foundation, you get a couple guys that can help recruit other guys. Then you get them all here in June. You help them recruit each other. They love having these big, you know, visit weekends. They found they get more commitments when they get all these guys together. Even if you think that it might take away, you know, focus on an individual guy, they have enough recruiting staffers. They seem to have the process down to where you get all these guys together, it helps recruit them a little bit better. But now is the time to add 10 guys in the next 2 months. I think that's realistic. 8 to 10, something like that. And then you head into the fall and kind of focus in on some late evaluations. Maybe you're trying to flip guys like Malik Elzey. Maybe you find some late risers like a Mac Resetich or a Matthew Bailey. But now is the time you get the bulk of your class. So it's important to see those commitments come out in the coming weeks and months.
I do want to add to that point, because I'm sure I said this on here, so I don't want to sound like a broken record, but 2 years ago when all this started, someone had told us, Jeremy, that these big recruiting weekends, like, number one, yeah, they have enough people to make sure nobody's sitting alone at the table eating dinner. Right. There's enough there to do that in terms of staff-wise. But they want these kids to build a web within each other and to be woven into their, like, weave those relationships together. And they want the parents to do the same. If you look back at that 21 class, the Oklahoma's, the Whitenecks, Mountus Moeller, the Leonards, I know they're all offensive linemen, so it's probably not the, you know, one-to-one pitch, but, like, their families are close, and a lot of that, the Learys, a lot of that happens on the visit. So you're weaving a lot of things together with these big visit weekends. I think that matters. Is it going to ultimately tip the scale one way or the other? Probably not. There's a lot of other factors at play, but you want as many things maybe going in your favor as you can, and putting those relationships together, letting those breathe a little bit, starting some text chains, some Snapchat chains, whatever the case may be, like, that's what can come out of this and kind of help blend those together a little bit more. Now, they only have one commit, Jeremy, this weekend visiting. I think in an ideal world, you would like two, if you could get two a weekend to kind of really put all that together. But I think the goal is relationships, not just with the staff, but for these guys and their families and with one another.
All right, let's start here, Joey. Let's throw some questions out at you that we can have some fun with this. Who do you think is the most important target visiting this weekend? I got the list up here. And I always preface this with, okay, if there's a family member listening, we're not saying your kid isn't important. This is just to have some conversation about some of these guys. And obviously some of them have bigger offer lists, all of that. I don't want to make anybody angry about that, but just give me one of your most important guys here.
I think Darion Dupree, because we know how much they value, like, again, yeah, I want to put the caveat, not that they don't value everyone else visiting, but, like, we know the priority that he is, and this is Wisconsin's very heavily in that mix. Illinois is fighting to be in that mix. He's a guy that they love at running back. He's a guy, like, they don't have, they've got the big guys, right? We've seen them recruit the big backs, but He's a guy who can be a pass catcher, kind of a do-it-all, in-state, four-star. Like, that one matters quite a bit from Chicago Mount Carmel. I think he's the one that would tell us a lot more, or maybe fortify a little bit more about what we think this recruiting pitch has taken. I think I know who you're going to go with, and I would assume that a lot can be said similarly about the guy you go with. But to me, Dupree's a big one.
Yeah, I think Dupree is just a perfect fit for what they need in that running back room, right? They got these big guys. They got Josh McCray. They got Caden Fagan. They got Jordan Anderson. They only have, like, really one speed threat for the long term here, right? And that's Aiden Loffrey, who struggled with some injuries here. So you like to add another speed threat. And Darion Dupree being the number one running back, given the sell you have at running back, having an All-American, an NFL draft pick, a guy who could be the Bengals' go-to running back in a year, I think is a great sell. Wisconsin seems like the front runner. I mean, it seems like Illinois needs to make up some ground here. But he left Wisconsin without giving a commitment, and I think it's because Illinois, he wants to check them out and give them a real chance. I think those are the two schools. Michigan's been involved, but they have some other targets. They already got a four-star running back commit. Missouri is in the mix as well. They're getting an official visit. But I do think this is a litmus test, kind of like Malik Elzey was, right? And eventually they got Malik Elzey, but if you can get him on board, I think it's just another sign of that they're a major player for these four-star top in-state kids, and I just think you got a great sell at running back. The other one I'd throw in there, because he's an in-state kid, he's a four-star prospect, and you're in a Big Ten battle, is Luke Williams. I think you've done a fantastic job recruiting him. The problem is the two guys who led this recruitment, and the two guys have a pretty good sell based on his position. He's going to play free safety. Purdue, Ryan Walters and Kevin Kane were the lead recruiters for Luke Williams when Illinois was going after him, and now they're at Purdue selling the exact same success. And you know what? Ryan Walters can sell that success because he helped develop all these NFL draft picks. Not that Bielema and company weren't a part of that, but he was hands-on with those safeties every single day. But Bielema can sell the structure, right? He can sell the in-state program. He can sell his history of success. Bielema's proven. Ryan Walters still needs to prove it. So I think that's what Illinois is certainly selling. Aaron Henry's gotten involved here, but Purdue has gotten in here, and they've given Illinois a run for their money right now. And Purdue just made the shrewd move of taking his brother, Zeke Williams, who is an NIU player, as a preferred walk-on transfer. Shrewd move. Shrewd move by Purdue there. So those two battles, the fact that you're going up against Big Ten opponents, the fact that these are four-star in-state prospects, Joey, let's be honest, like, Illinois wants to continue raising the bar for recruiting. I think it's important to land guys like this. Maybe you don't land all of them. And I think Illinois can go land a running back that's talented. I think they can go land safeties out of Florida and do well. But you want to land the top in-state prospects. So I think it's important to make some ground up and potentially push ahead of your Big Ten rivals here.
That is – it makes – Luke Williams makes sense. It's a good pick. I thought you were going to go with Eddie Turek because, let's be honest, 2 years ago, definitely three – this is not a conversation with him. They're in the mixer, Northwestern, Miami in the mix. That's a big one. A lineman who – I say lineman because he can play defense, he can play offense. It'll sort that out. But he's a guy that just probably – it's probably not really much of a conversation with in years past. And now they've seemingly done some work, and we've seen him on campus quite a few times. He's another big one because he's a top 500 kid in the state, Jeremy. Yeah. And you've – especially at a position – where you have good sells, whether it's offensive line, defensive line, that's one that you want to try to maximize those sells on.
And let's be honest, Eddie Turek is kind of an Illini legacy. His dad went to Illinois. His sister goes to Illinois and is working in the Illinois football recruiting department now. So, like, that's – you'd hope that familial connection really helps. Now, Northwestern, I think – has a really good sell to suburban linemen. You've lost on suburban linemen in the past because Pat Fitzgerald, they got good development on the lines. Now, they've struggled here recently. And they got six commitments as linemen. I think four offensive linemen and two defensive linemen. So that's intriguing. Miami is also very involved here. So they're a threat. But again, to land the suburban offensive lineman like you did last year with TJ McMillan, I think Eddie Turek would be a similar really, really good get. Illinois recruiting him as a defensive lineman and offensive lineman. And then you got two other top 20 prospects in state. We'll get to Tyshawn Griffin out of Morgan Park here in a moment. But Carson Conkle, a three-star tight end, late bloomer here, kind of blew up. I think he's kind of taking his recruitment all in. But Michigan State is in there. Indiana is very involved. But getting a kid out of Pinckneyville, you got to get a kid out of Pinckneyville, right, Joey? Like, they've done a really good job downstate. I know Austin Brown went to Wisconsin, a four-star prospect at that time. Maybe if you recruited him a year later after Kirby Joseph's year, you might have gotten him. But they've gotten Hank Beatty. They've gotten Caden Fagan, the two kids out of East St. Louis last year. They've done a pretty good job in downstate Illinois. And I don't think you can put a fence around the state, but you'd really like to put a fence around downstate. And Carson Conkle would be another good win downstate.
Yeah, Pinckneyville does not produce a lot of Division I football players. It's good for him to be really blown up on the scene. I'm with you. Yeah, there's some downstate misses. You can look at it in different portions too. Like early on in Bielema's tenure, I thought of a guy like Rashad Rochelle, who there just didn't seem to be a lot of traction there. But their hit rate downstate south of 80 is pretty good. And if you'd like to keep a Big Ten, like, this is outside of Austin Brown, Jeremy, in Bielema's tenure, is this the first downstate kid who like really had a swath of Power Five options? I guess Aiden Lawfer, excuse me. That's
Aiden Lawfer was a big
Caden
one.
Fagan. Yeah,
Caden Fagan was a big one. Brandon Henderson.
You want to close off downstate as much as you can. And East St. Louis, you mentioned Brandon Henderson. It's a tough one because a lot of people go to East St. Louis looking for recruits, but these small school players, you want to close off those kids and get them to Illinois.
Yeah. The other thing we got to mention is the Florida kids. Illinois has a slew of Florida kids coming into Illinois this month. 11 prospects. I think that's down to 10 because Vernon Woodard just committed to Wisconsin. But they got some big ones this weekend. Four-star edge Dylan Stevenson. Shout out to Charlie Allen, man, who I've heard fantastic things about his career. So the assistant, I think, is doing a fantastic job recruiting. So kudos to him getting Stevenson on campus. Now Florida State's a major player there. Ricky Knight, the three-star defensive back. I think he's kind of a four-star level prospect. He's a top 500 kid. Florida State, Miami, huge players there, but Illinois gets the first official visit. And hey, if Miami and Florida State, who have some four-star targets, if maybe they don't push, I think Illinois can put themselves in position there, and then they get another three-star DB in Xavier Lucas. So, like you're saying, Joey, the defensive success last year, the NFL development that they've had the last couple years, I think that's what we'll see with the measurement with these guys. Like, I don't know, I don't think any of these guys are going to commit right away. That'd be kind of a surprise to me. But if they can land one of these guys within the next month or two, I think that'd really show that their sell of NFL success is really starting to resonate.
Yeah, sell of NFL success and sell of NFL success with dudes from Florida.
Yeah,
who a lot of these guys, I'm assuming, have some level of familiarity with, whether they've just heard it and they've done more research as Illinois recruited them. And look, Aaron Henry, Antonio Finales, Brett Bielema have recruited the state of Florida. Obviously, Bielema and Henry longer than Finales for a while. They're familiar with the schools there, some of the dynamics in play of just understanding how to recruit the state. That's becoming a sneaky, like, there was that little New Jersey stretch for a while where it's like, boy, look at everyone, they're getting out of New Jersey. Florida is Illinois' home away from home, and they've done a good job there. And this class, to your point, with the NFL development, will be a good litmus test for how much that pitch has improved or continues to resonate.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
A couple guys I want to say don't overlook here. Demetrius John, three-star defensive lineman out of Ohio. You mentioned the one commit that is visiting. That's Angel McCollum, a three-star defensive lineman out of Ohio. I think that can help this weekend. I think Angela McComb's job is to recruit Demetrius John. They know each other pretty well. The families, I think, know each other just from being around each other, being at camps, all that stuff. So I think that could help because Demetrius John is a really, really good prospect. He's long. He's athletic. I think he can play the Keith Randolph position here. I know I'm breaking up here a little bit. Sorry about that. But I just think he's a really good Power 5 defensive line prospect, and they need to land more Power 5 defensive linemen. So he's a big-time prospect. If he commits this weekend, I think they've got a good chance with him over the next couple of weeks. I think that's a big addition for Illinois, a position of need for the long term. Brett Carroll, offensive lineman out of Kansas, they are huge fans of. I was told by somebody outside the program that if he lived in Dallas, he'd probably be a four-star prospect. They love how physical he is. I watched this film. He kind of reminds me of Ted Karras. And we know how that well that went for Illinois, but physical, big, athletic. He's got several visits coming up. You know, Kansas State's a major player there. Texas Tech, he just visited there. Minnesota, obviously, has a good offensive line sell. So that's going to be a really competitive recruitment, but don't overlook him. And then Stewart, it feels like this is kind of a sneaky one that they don't always gotten in on. A kid on the East Coast, Philadelphia. Getting him on an official visit this weekend. Obviously, they have a good O-line sell. So I know some of those linemen we overlook a little bit sometimes, at least the average fan, because you're just looking for playmakers. But that's where Illinois has kind of had its bread and butter under Brett Bielema, obviously.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm wondering how many they have. Brandon Hanson, excuse me. Jesus, it's been a long day. They have him, but how many do they take, Jeremy? I think three or four would make sense in my eyes. But, yeah, don't overlook the line because that's one of their best pitches right now. We have to mention Carlos Orr, who probably is in a pretty good spot for him. Lone Power 5 offer, I believe. George McDonald's made him a priority.
Get to him in a moment.
Well, the moment might be now, Jeremy.
Well, I'm going to throw this out there, Joey. This is what the fans want to know. Over-under commitments from this weekend over the next, let's say, 2 weeks, 2.5.
From this weekend?
From this weekend, of the 12 uncommitted official visitors over the next 2 weeks. Because some of these guys are going to take their time, take other visits. So I'll say over the next 2 weeks, over under commitments from this weekend of visitors.
Over. I think that's over the next 2 weeks, yeah, I think over.
Yeah. Over the weekend, if you're going next 5 days or something like that, I still might go over. Because I feel like you're in a closing position with Carlos Orr. Demetrius John has other official visits coming up, but Carlos Orr, 6'4", 180 pounds. George McDonald has prioritized him. You're the only Power 5 offer. It feels like it's just been waiting for this official visit. So that one, I feel like I got a crystal ball in. Like for
you
a
try
while.
To make him a visit recruiter on Saturday, right? Yes. You try to lock that down on Friday and let him work on Saturday.
Yeah, these are the kind of guys you want to and Demetrius John for me. Like he was raving about his unofficial visit in April, and I think you're the best option that he has. You know, Boston College, Vanderbilt are supposed to get official visits, but I know his family really likes Illinois. I know Demetrius really likes Illinois. You got McComb here on the official visit. That's a guy I think don't let him go anywhere else. Close down on that one this weekend. And the other guy that most fans will probably get most excited about would be Tyshawn Griffin. The thing that strikes me is he only has one official visit scheduled so far. That's all he's shared with the world so far. Now, maybe he's going to take some other visits because I've heard Louisville, Maryland, some other programs really are interested in him and still recruiting him really hard. But he's only got one official visit set. His high school coach is Chris James, former Illini wide receiver. He's visited here many, many times. And again, it just feels like it's been an official visit away, potentially, of doing that. And to get one of the Chicago Public League's top kids, top prospects done would be huge for Illinois, help you sell maybe some of these other in-state kids like Dupree, Williams, some of the kids who might come later this month. So that's another one I would look at. And then you can always have surprises. Like the two surprises to me last year were Jamarion Harkless, Rico Jackson. Those commitments didn't last, right? But there's always some kids just get caught up in all this stuff. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's not long lasting. But those are the three guys I would really look at as saying like, okay, cue the semisonic. It is closing time.
Those are the exact three, Jeremy, that I had in mind. And with Griffin, we talk about how important the month of June is for programs. Like it's important for kids too, to go and get these visits and see when a top 500 kid has one official visit, again, like you said, announced, that should put up every flare and sign to say, hey, what's going on here? Why are there not?
I know who I want to take.
You read that, and it's like those seem like that seems like a recruitment you want to close down come Sunday in the Brett Bielema's office before Tyshawn Griffin goes home.
Yeah, the other guy that's just, I don't know, because every time I've talked with Carson Conkle, it's like, this is all new. Like, he's all taking it in. He's a kid from Pinckneyville, just got to a Big Ten campus for the first time in April, and it feels like he's swimming in it. But, like, Illinois makes a lot of sense there. He does have an official visit set up for Michigan State, but that's another guy I would kind of sit there and go, oh, that wouldn't shock me if that one got closed down, just because it makes sense. A downstate kid, go to Illinois. He's got a lot of fans where he lives, but he also might be a kid who just wants to take it all in, take more official visits, and just kind of figure this whole recruiting thing out. So he's another one that intrigues me.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's like we get so used to covering it or fans following it. Dude, this is a lot to deal with, especially like some kids you've been that kid forever, right?
And it it's Tyshawn Griffin's been on visits forever, right?
Yeah, it's always going to happen for you. But then when it starts to happen for somebody who maybe didn't know what's going to happen at this level, dude, it is so much to take in. And like, look, we were not those kids, by the way. No one called us.
Knox College gave me a couple recruiting calls, Joey.
Did you go on a visit?
No, I had interest in playing Division III college football. Kudos to all those who did. I was just like, I want to go and cover sports because I'm not good enough at it.
But like, dude, the sheer volume of calls, of text, of people like us reaching out, like there's so much to deal with. Like some guy's been ready for it, and then sometimes just like, oh my goodness, this is so much to deal with. So yeah, it's hard to get a read on some guys who are still trying to figure their way through this process.
Yeah. All right, you sent a question to me, and we made sure not to discuss this before the pod, because you got to save it for the pod. How over under 4-star commitments in this class? They had 3 last year: Malik Elzey, Caden Fagan, and then Sabor Kareem, a guy I thought was a 4-star prospect. Ended up that in the composite rankings, I believe. So they had 3 last year. So maybe that's the bar. 2.5 over under you sent me, and I think that's right. How would you answer that, Joey?
Spend a little time thinking about this, trying to figure out the best over. Like, Illinois football should be over that number at this point. Right? I mean, I don't think that's crazy. And you look at guys they're in with. Let's look at the 4-stars they have right now saying that they're visiting. Dylan Stevenson from Florida, edge rusher. We've talked about Darion Dupree, Luke Williams. We scroll up.
Yeah, I got them all here. Marquise Lightfoot. They might have a chance to get an official visit there. Imarian Stewart, I don't think you're going to get. Khalil Valentine, the running back out of Arizona, just set his official visit for later this month. Darion Dupree. Austin Alexander, corner, visiting later this month out of Marion Catholic. I think that might be another Illinois-Purdue battle. Luke Williams, Illinois-Purdue battle. Ricky Knight is a 3-star. So, you know, Tyshawn Griffin's a high 3-star. I think it's a tough answer, to be honest with you.
Don't we have Ja'Cory Barney from Florida is listed as visiting the 23rd?
They said they got him as a 4-star?
Composite.
Okay, there you go, Ja'Cory Barney. Yeah, you going over?
I think so. Here's the thing: if it's under, I think there's going to be a lot of eyes looking to West Lafayette.
Yeah, and Madison.
Yeah.
I think it depends a lot on the in-state kids. You know, I think Lightfoot's a long shot, but I think you're in there. You know, can you get one of the 4-star running backs? You should. Like, if you can get a 4-star guy, I think it should be a running back right now at this point. Or defensive back, and that's where Alexander and Williams come in. So does Knight get to 4-star status at some point if you're able to get him? I don't think Tyshawn Griffin's going to get up there. Eddie Turk, I don't know if he's going to get up there. Right now I might say under. Not that – I do think you're right that the expectation should be, Illinois should be able to get 3 4-star prospects. But you know my take is, like, I think there should be 600 4-star prospects. So I considered Griffin, Turk – man, even like Demetrius John to me is that kind of level of prospect. So I wouldn't, there's some nuance involved in all of that, but to me it comes down to, I think Dupree and Williams will set the tone there, because I think those are the two guys you I've been pushing for, you've prioritized. Landing them would go a long way. Like, at this point you already had Fagan on board. Sabor Kareem, you're sitting well with. He was a three-star prospect this time. And I thought last year, getting two, depending on Malik Elzey, you didn't get him the first time around, but you got him by, you know, December, January. So that kind of changed as that class went along. So I think they'll get two. I don't know about a third yet.
Yeah, the third is the toughest one for me. And again, it's like you're right. There's going to be two places to look. It's going to be Madison, Wisconsin, and West Lafayette, Indiana. Because those, like, CN State ones.
And you were better than them last year. Not Purdue, I guess.
Not Purdue.
I guess Purdue got to the Big Ten Championship. But yeah. I mean, there was a different coaching staff, right? So that's
both were.
It's a big and month, look, man.
It looks like Luke Fickell's brought a lot of juice to Wisconsin. And it, honestly, very similar vibes from Purdue, which we knew. We covered those guys. We knew that they're good at this, and they have that ability to recruit. That might be a fun one. Like, if we talk protected rivalries, that's going to be a fun one for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I was glad they protected that, man. Like, I saw Kevin Kane and Corey Patterson up at North Central College. It's good seeing those guys. Those are really good dudes. But they think it's weird, right? It's a weird dynamic for them, but this is the reality. They are rivals now. Like, they were talking to each other. I don't know if Brett Bielema will like that. They were friendly with each other, but they're also cutthroat on the recruiting trail. And they're recruiting the same guys. They're recruiting to the same scheme, the same success. It's fascinating. I just find it completely fascinating to see who's going to win out there, because I know Illinois fans want to take all the credit for Ryan Walters. Dude, that guy was awesome. He was really good at what he did. Could he have done it without Brett Bielema? No. Aaron Henry played a role in all that success, but specifically to defensive backs and specifically to safeties, he did a heck of a job.
He did, man. And I'm not a big fan of the rewriting history at this point. Like, Ryan Walters is good. He was good at Illinois. He's got it.
There's a reason he got the Big Ten coaching job from being the Illinois coordinator.
Yeah. Look, that doesn't mean no one in the Illinois building is good, but, like, dude, Ryan Walters is good. And I think
Illinois coaches will admit that too. Like,
yeah, Brett Bielema said, like, when I saw Purdue, I was like, just my luck. And he said, he was on the record saying that. Like, you don't say just my luck if you don't think the guy's any good. Now it's going to bring some juice, man. I get it. And the first recruit that Illinois truly pulls, or that Purdue truly pulls away from Illinois, there's probably going to be some bantering, and fans are going to be frustrated. And that's why it's protected rivalry or something. Yeah. I don't know. It's fun, dude. It is. It's fun. Maybe not as fun if you're a fan and you lose a guy you recruited your tail off to Purdue, but it's part of the game.
That's why it's a huge weekend.
You also won some guys that other teams recruited their tail off. It's how this thing goes, man. It's what makes recruiting such a roller coaster.
Yeah, like Iowa a couple years ago losing Loughery to Illinois. They were probably like, what the heck is this? Who the heck are these guys, right? Or Cincinnati and Fickell losing Malik Elzey last year. They're probably, we're just in the college football playoffs. Just had 9 draft picks. What's happening here? So yeah, it's, you know, Illinois is plucky to some people, and then you got these other staffs. But this is important, Joey, because I mean, talk to the Illinois staffer yesterday. We got to continue getting dudes. Like, they have to continue getting dudes because the Big Ten's only getting tougher, and you have to have players. Like, Illinois had players partly because of what Lovie Smith was able to bring in talent wise, and they were able to develop it. But you can only develop so much. You need really good talent. And in this Big Ten, where you're not protected by just playing Big Ten West teams anymore, you got to continue to raise the bar. And I think that's what this month is all about.
It is, man. And it's a fun month. It's a fun month because so much of it gets built. There's a guy, Jim. Can we talk really quick? We haven't really talked about Brandon Hansen in a while. Yeah. When we've seen him a few times. Large individual, that one. I mean, he is a large guy that I think he could be a guy that we look at down the road and are like, boy, Illinois is probably pretty happy they closed on him early in the cycle.
Can I give out a tease?
I hope.
I'm thinking about bringing the recruiting lounge back, and we might have one tomorrow. I'll have a note about Brandon Hansen, because even though he's still not highly ranked, you and I have seen how big he's gotten and how – and, you know, talking with people, how much more athletic he's gotten. He's moving a lot better. He's put in a lot of work. And there's been some big schools that have tried to get in on his recruitment. And he said, no, I'm good. So he's being recruited higher than he's being ranked. And he's kept it quiet. But, yeah, it's like that they got a good one there. I liked that they closed early on him. You know, I know there's some questions about how well he moved when they took him. But, you know, to get an in-state guy that's that big, that physical, You know, they kind of took him as a guard, and I think now they think he can play tackle. So to get tackle bodies is really difficult. So that's kudos to them. That's why you want to recruit kids early in the state and get in early on kids in the state and get to know them really well. So I think Brandon Hansen's kind of a little bit underrated at this point.
Look at you teasing out with 60% off of a membership going right now, Jeremy. Look at that.
Look at you giving a promo.
Putting it all together. Hey, the kids will learn, man. I'm learning over here. Yeah. It's a podcasting game.
You got anything else left, Joey?
I don't. We did talk really quickly about Charlie Bowen. I've talked to him. You've talked to him. This guy's got it. Like, I'm really interested to see what this official visit month looks like for him when he can be with the prospect and that prospect's family for 48 hours. And there's a lot going on. It's not just going to be Charlie tailing a kid for 48 hours around campus. But he's somebody I'm really, really interested in because I think he's got a lot of factors that make somebody a good recruiter. We know we've seen him and what he's done in the NFL. It doesn't happen on accident. I think we might learn a little bit more about him this weekend or this month and to see what he's able to do because he's a really personable guy who's got a heck of a history to sell. We're trying to learn about these new coaches. We've known Thad Ward. We've covered him for a little bit. We're still learning Charlie and Antonio Fernelis and Robbie Disher, but man, it seems like he's really making some rounds on the recruiting trail.
Because let's be honest, Illinois has fans probably have a not so great memory of NFL assistants trying to become recruiters.
That's right.
From the Lovie Smith era. He's different. Charlie's different. He enjoys recruiting. He seems to really like it, and he's just a natural. You see him I've talked with him several times at some of these events, and we got to interview him and things like that, and he got good vibes. And then you see him at some of these camps and just bouncing around, talking to everybody, going up to people and just being comfortable, even if he doesn't know them. That translates really well. And then he's got a great sell when you can go to Marquise Lightfoot and say, yeah, Chandler Jones, that guy, that huge contract, one of the best pass rushers of recent history in the NFL. I coached him. Hassan Reddick, Pro Bowler. Yeah, you know him, making millions of dollars. Yeah, I coached him too. Marcus Golden, millionaire, right? I coached him. And then you can start to sell. Gabe Back is going to be a high draft pick. Seth Coleman could be a draft pick. That's gonna help him on the recruiting trail. So yeah, I think you should be really excited about what he brings because it was kind of built as, and Brett Bielema said it. We want to get the most of our guys. This is a development guy. This is a coach. He's going to add. He's a guy in recruiting, I think, as well.
Yeah, I think Brett Bielema will probably tell you he saw that coming. But I think for those of us who have seen this kind of manifest over the last few months, it's been a little bit of a surprise. Because like you said, recent history doesn't suggest that's going to be a home run in Champaign.
He's never recruited. So yeah, I mean,
that was our biggest question mark when they hired him.
Yeah, it was
literally
like
the biggest question.
And for me, he's a younger guy. The first interview we had with him, I'm like, oh, okay. And then I said hi to him afterwards, and he was just naturally engaging, and you're like, okay, this guy's got a chance, and now you're starting to see it into play. Like, it's not that we didn't think he couldn't recruit, it's just that we didn't know. Like, there's no history of it. There's no 24/7 profile of listed of recruits. Like, we can see that with Thad Ward, we can see that with Robbie Disher. We didn't know when it comes to Charlie Bowen, so that's been certainly encouraging. All right, that's all I got. That's about an hour of Illinois football talk. I think we covered it all there, Joey.
It's a lot. Yeah, good. It's a fun month, dude. It's a really, really fun month to follow up and see how this thing plays out.
And as Joey said, it's a good month to sign up for Illini Inquirer with everything going on. Piper's still doing some basketball stuff that you got to be paying attention to on the VIP side of things. And, of course, we've got all of our official visit primers. I'll have that recruiting lounge out tomorrow as well. And right now you can get 60% off a deal. That's more than $70 in savings. So just look at that at IlliniInquirer.com. Thank you to everybody on our YouTube, live YouTube stream here. Appreciate you guys. Hit the like button on the way out. That really, really helps us. Subscribe to us and hit that notifications bell for all of our videos. Thanks to all who are listening on the podcast side of things. Give us a follow, rating, and review wherever you get your podcast. For Joey Wagner, I'm Jeremy Warner. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount Plus, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.